Hi, I'm Chris Lukianenko, and this is the Intelligent Workplace brought to you by LiveTiles. My chance to speak with the industry experts and explore the new ideas and technologies that are shaping and transforming the modern workplace. As I start to explore the world of the intelligent workplace, I'm realizing that it is only limited by your imagination. The broader your range of skills and the greater your understanding of technology, the more ideas you can throw at the concept. For that reason, I've asked Cameron Smith from the highly regarded Australian ICT services provider SXIQ to join me on the podcast today. His experience is broad, having worked in financial services, insurance, construction, and communications, and his understanding of the world of technology is top-notch, with many years' experience in enterprise architecture, application development, and digital transformation supporting organizational strategy. A transformational thinker with a passion for delivering amazing user experiences. I'm really looking forward to chatting with him today. So welcome to the Intelligent Workplace podcast, Cameron Smith.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be on the podcast. So thanks for inviting us.
Thanks so much. Mate, I'm really keen to get into this chat with you today, as I know you are very well qualified to be talking about this. But let's catch the listeners up on your background and your career, because they haven't spent the last week Googling your name and taking notes like I have.
No, thanks, Chris. I mean, my background's wide and varied, I suppose, as far as my experience. So some of my more recent roles is, you know, former CEO of a client experience technology company, Cote Software and Solutions. I've been a CIO for Vision Australia. I've had a variety of business transformations and digital transformation roles at IAG and Computershare. So a very wide and variety of experiences, both on the business side, but also from a technical and delivery side. So that kind of consumer technology experiences is what we're really kind of bringing now to SXIQ and the employee experience side.
Phew, sounds like I've made the right decision to get you onto this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mate, speaking of the research that I did on you, I'm going to quote you from one of your blog articles that I read.
Sure.
You said, "This is the golden age of technological change. There has never been a time where we possess so much technology and data that could change a business." And I agree with you, and it's really exciting. But on the flip side, I'm sure you've worked with some clients that are a little bit stressed out with handling so many moving pieces.
Yeah, look, it definitely is. And as you said, there's so much technology we get access to, so much data. And I guess that's a really positive. It's helping, you know, industries get disrupted. It's helping organizational change accelerate their sort of, you know, digital transformation. But if you think about it from an employee perspective, you're really getting a lot of noise. You've got, you know, core systems to do, your CRM to log things about your customer. You've got a HR system. You've got data in different points and systems. You've been asked to do different tasks. And there's just a whole lot of noise going in for enterprises around people just trying to do their daily job, right? So whilst it's creating a lot of disruptions in the market and industry, there's been a lot more emphasis on the actual employees and how they operate and how much information and data they now have to deal with just to do their job. So it's really changing the dynamics of, you know, how people go to work. Things aren't as simple as they used to be. They used to be logging into one system. And if you think in the really old days, you just log into one little terminal and do your job in one application. Now you've got all these different systems just to do your day-to-day work, right? So one of the stats that we, you know, recently read is, you know, 9 apps at least as a minimum just to do your job.
Yeah.
And some companies we're seeing have up to 15 different applications just to do their job.
Wow.
It's quite a changing landscape. And organizations are really struggling with, well, how do we get people more productive? How do we keep them focused? How do we keep them engaged?
Yeah.
Particularly where it's so hard to just do things. And unfortunately, you know, organizations, we talk a little bit about this in the digital transformation space, have been focused on that customer experience, and they needed to be. And having a great customer journeys, you know, helped organizations to be competitive. But who's helping focus on the employee experience side?
Now, mate, let's just I want to get your opinion. How do you like to frame up the intelligent workplace and what it might promise us in the future?
I think it's the way we frame it is that organizations haven't typically designed or curated the experience for employees. So they certainly have for their customers. And what we do with intelligent workplace is say that organizations, you have to design and curate an experience for different departments, teams and roles, so that people can work and operate and be effective the best way they can. So the intelligent workplace is about providing data, insights, information to people in that single pane of glass or operate. And that requires that experience to be designed, thought about, tried, prototyped and kind of tweaked along the way to get the best possible experience. So whilst intelligent workplace sort of sounds like a, you know, a technological kind of approach to things, it's actually about the human approach and how do we design and curate that experience for people. It's about getting the intelligence and information for people in a way that they consume and use. So it's not just about the technology, it's also about knowing the employees, knowing how they operate, their skill, the information they need, and really thinking through about how can I make this a really effective experience for this employee?
Yeah, because if the employee is having a poor experience, no armada of technology is going to really help them get the job done. But it feels like sometimes the digital employee experience is often forgotten about in designing solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, everyone sees this. I mean, you and I are both work for technology companies, and there's a real competing need for talent in the world at the moment, particularly in technology and other industries, right? So people are expecting a lot more, right? So there's that consumer-grade experience that people get in their life, in their real life, that they expect to have in the workplace now. So the other day I had to try and work out how to change the bearings on my trailer. I used YouTube to work out how to do that. and my kids certainly do the same. If they need to work out how to find and do something, they just go to YouTube and it's there.
Absolutely.
If they want information, we use Google and search. But, you know, it's very rarely that you find in organisations they've got the same consumer-grade experience in the workplace. And that it's becoming a lot more, I guess, competitive for talent in the workplace. So people expect a certain level of experience they get in the consumer world in the workplace. And it's becoming a bit more of a almost a war on talent, is how we phrase it, to make sure you get the best possible experiences. And organisations, they've been focused on other things, right? So they, you know, sometimes you'll focus on having a great physical built environment. So the office workplace and that experience is great. They'll focus on culture. So how do we, you know, make sure our values are portrayed and work through the organisation? But how often do you hear an organisation talk about how they're pulling all those two other elements together in the digital experience as well? So it's not often talked about or even focused as organisations.
Have you sort of either worked with clients or seen situations where a company hasn't considered the employee experience and just got it wrong and spent a lot of money implementing a system and then forgot about the end-to-end employee experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the examples I often give is I used to work for a fairly large insurance company, and we worked a couple of projects. And one of the projects we spent millions developing a sort of new core external facing portal for insurance clients that are more business to business related. And what happened was the project was, you know, really sophisticated. It did multi-policy discounts. It looked at different ratings and was able to produce quite a good product for the end customer. But when the customer actually purchased the actual policy, it basically went and, you know, sent an email to the operations team to fulfill. So quite a real different experience on the employee side, fantastic customer experience side, but really lacking on what happens next once it goes internally to the organisation. And that's often, you know, a thing that's forgotten about in terms of, you know, how the employee is going to use the information data then to fulfill the rest of the requirements. So it's a common thing that you see probably more often than not that that's the last kind of consideration, is what the employee has to do to actually help with that customer experience. And many people know there's a massive linkage between the employee experience and the customer side, but really is it design? And that's kind of our whole premise behind the employee experience work we do, but also the intelligent workplace kind of strategies we have.
How do we ensure that we keep the digital employee experience top of mind in this design process? I mean, one way I've heard of is to employ a chief experience officer. Have you seen a bit of that with your clients?
Yeah, we've seen a real shift that organisations are hiring chief digital officers and the employee experience side that, you know, are both responsible for the employee experience as much of how it interrelates with the customer experience. We are seeing a lot more discussions at the exec table where, you know, a combination between potentially HR director and also a CIO and who owns that kind of responsibility. So there's more and more discussions about where that lives. Is it a HR thing? Is it a CIO thing? Or this new role around, you know, chief experience officer? It's becoming more of a discussion. It's quite new, I'd say. So some organizations are really thinking about the employee experience side, and some are grappling with where does the ownership live in terms of digital employee experience. You know, for now, some organisations are saying, you know, employee experience lives with HR, but then it becomes a little bit murky when it's, you know, the digital experience. So it might be the productivity tools they use or the core systems. Well, who owns that experience and where should it live? So it's a really interesting discussion point, and a lot of, you know, executives at that C-level are really discussing it quite prominently at the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea to me. Now, you're sort of drawing those parallels between external customer experiences and internal employee experiences. Are there things that we can learn from providing great external customer experiences when designing the intelligent workplace for our employees?
Well, there's lots of parallels between the two. And we talk a lot about the internal sort of insights in that digital employee experience kind of provides. So for customer experience, the moments of truth are the small elements when, you know, a customer's going through a buying journey and there might be something that doesn't quite work. So when they go to check out and pay for, in an e-commerce situation. And there's similar things that we call moments that matter. So for employees, their moments of truth or moments of matter is really around things like, you know, I go to do an expense claim and it's an arduous process, or I just need to get approval for a new headcount. And this whole broken experience process is what causes that, what you call poor employee experience from those things that just don't quite work. So that's a real parallel between the two. Other ones is that, you know, the best kind of way, best connections are kind of human, right? So in the customer experience world, people like to deal with humans. You know, they like to interact and get outcomes. Yes. No one likes to talk to an automated machine. So they want to feel like they're conversing and working through that. So how can we use technology to help people connect and work together through collaboration, through connection? Most of us work in organizations that could be global or interstate or remote. And how do we make sure people feel connected, part of that workplace, but also, you know, pull through things like that culture and, you know, how do we make people feel part of the team, if you like? So that's making sure that people feel that we focus on the human experiences.
This one's really interesting to me because I feel like that sometimes can be that missing link, talking about water cooler conversations and, you know, feeling part of a team when you're working remotely. Absolutely. What are some of the technologies that you're suggesting to your clients that they use to sort of help bridge that gap?
Well, there's many in regards to that. And, you know, there's obviously Microsoft Teams and Slack, and there's things like Yammer, which help with that conversational type of interaction and working on things. And there's many facilities around the types of video conferencing through Teams and Skype and those sort of technologies. So the more interaction that people can feel where they can just quickly chat, they can interact, they can see each other, you know, they can joke around like you would in the water cooler situations, help people to be feel part of the team no matter where they are. And that's really important for teams that, you know, as I said, might be remote or need to interact or work together, but you know, not just doing it from email where it's a send and forget and then you're waiting to receive. It's dynamic interaction. So there's many technologies that you might already, you know, organizations might already have. It's about probably designing how can we get that kind of feel and make it fun and make people want to interact. So sometimes in designing some of the experience, how do we make people interact? And, you know, for us in our digital team here at SXIQ, many of us are working remote, interstate or on client sites or in the office and out of the office. So, you know, we connect and joke around on our team sites. Some of it's obviously work-related where we're working on projects together. In other words, we're just sharing things that we would when we're in the office.
Yeah.
It's about encouraging and helping people understand how they can use the tools to do that. And then, you know, having people that really champion and drive it. And it's been very successful because we're doing it the same way we would in the office as well. So it's helping us a lot.
I think it's important to bring that human element back into those communications. And that's why I really like the ones that are like either audio or video, because you can tell what people are saying by the way that they use their voice or the way that they react with their face, as opposed to something where you're typing things down. And sometimes translation can get lost there.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, it's interesting, we have different generations in organizations, and some of the newer generations prefer, you know, chat.
They do, yeah.
So, you know, typing versus the video conferencing side. So it is interesting that, I mean, we've got technologies that can provide multi-channel kind of interactions, which is great because it caters for different types of demographics and what people's preferred method of channel is. And that's probably the other kind of insight, which is around that hyper-personalization. Everyone's a little bit different in how they like to work. And there is ways to weave in the different kind of preferences and channels that people would like to work together. You know, I watch my son play video games on the PS4 while, you know, FaceTiming his friends on an iPad, right, which is a really interesting way in how they kind of collaborate and work. And
I have the same thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, they'll be the next generations of working where, you know, my daughter will use Instagram and sort of chat technology and prefers not the video conferencing side. So these kind of considerations around personalizations and catering for the different kind of ways people want to interact is something to be mindful of as well. Some people just don't prefer to do the whole video conference with 30 people in the room. That kind of experience and cultural elements that you want to bring through needs to be considered, I'd have to say. So
it's probably more of a cultural thing too. You've got all these technologies, you set your rules of interaction, how that works, and then hopefully people will find their way through that. I often find that I'm sitting in a room here at work with, you know, 20 people, and I'll get messages from half a dozen of the younger guys who like to, you know, interact that way. And I'm like, why can't you come over and have a conversation with me?
Yeah.
But that's the way that we've trained them to interact with each other, is more around these chat rooms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a consideration, particularly when you're designing that employee experience. You've got to consider the types of demographic. You know, do you have people who are more frontline workers and basically working on site with people, and chat's an easier mechanism to interact with? Or is things like having a face-to-face more important because you want to bring that culture of talking and working together? So, that, you know, that's kind of how we advocate to work. And before you jump, you know, knees deep into technology, you kind of consider designing the experience. So mapping out and designing those personas of how people work, the type of, you know, organizational behaviors you want to bring through, how do you encourage the cultural elements that you're trying to demonstrate through values into that experience? And that's really the process, and I guess our part of our practice is designing that experience up front before we start getting into the technology side, because that's often the largest gap and the things that are missed the most.
I love that you mentioned there that you work with personas to try and bring these things to life, because I found them such a really effective way, both internally and externally, to make sure that you're hitting the nail on the head when you're developing any of this sort of thing.
Yeah, look, a fair bit of our work at the moment is designing those personas, a day in a life, actually speaking to people who work in the organisation and what they do from a day-to-day basis. And you'd be surprised at how often organisations just aren't speaking to the people in a deliberate way around how they operate, what they do. And they're often surprised about how people work around systems, because they're just not getting the information and data they need, how they work around the processes of things.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a considered or orchestrated process. But then, you know, you'll see organizations that spend a lot of time doing the personas for a customer journey to make sure it's precise, and there's different ways that, like, no customer's lost and they don't have to tell their story more than once. And there's all this consideration. But when you look at an employee, it's kind of, yeah, use this tool for this, get the data here, go there to get this. And it's a real hodgepodge of different solutions and information and processes just to get their day-to-day work done. So that persona mapping and having a deliberate thought and process around how do I extract what people are doing and what would really benefit them and help them is often a bit of a lost art in organisations at the moment.
So the 40-year-old persona for Chris likes to talk face-to-face, and the 20-year-old developer persona likes to chat. Sorted.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think it's it'd be interesting if every organisation had, you know, undertook that process, what they would discover about how people actually like to work, and is there a better way of designing it so that we could work more collectively together. So it'd be great.
Yeah. Mate, rounding all of this stuff out, how much of a difference to productivity can a good employee experience actually make?
Yeah, look, for organisations, it makes a huge difference. I mean, we've seen, you know, high as 25% increases in productivity. For different organisations, they focus on things like compliance and safety. I've had organisations that, you know, wanted for their trucking company 3 points of safety when a truck driver arrives at a site, right? And those sort of things can potentially, you know, save lives or reduce injuries. So
yep.
For different organisations, there's different metrics around things like productivity, compliance, safety. Some organisations want people to be more productive and get more things done. So, you know, we work with, you know, organisations like law firms who want more billable hours, right? So those sort of metrics are normally established at the start of a project or an engagement where we try and understand what people are trying to get out of it. And organizations are slightly different. Some have more, you know, they want to, you know, improve things like engagement. So how people score the organization around engagement. And that, we see things around 15 to 20% around those as well. So there's lots of things that can be,
wow,
you know, I guess a return on investment for these sort of investment in these sort of projects. But different organizations have different drivers. And it's a really key part to design the experience, not only to make it an enjoyable and engagement experience, but there's different kind of organisational drivers or behaviours that people may want to gather as well.
But something we haven't mentioned in the whole chat this morning, where does AI play a part in the whole employee experience?
Yeah, it's a good question. And we're obviously working with companies like LiveTiles and Microsoft and all that, leveraging a lot of their AI technology. And there's large types of projects that we do in the AI space and the bot space where they're learning, they're sort of taking and helping employees augment their kind of some of the processes or some of those mundane tasks and using some of that AI technology to either learn, you know, how people are asking it to perform certain tasks, improve kind of automation and workflow, and even in the data space, giving people insight. So people not having to join the dots themselves, but leveraging AI technology to kind of look at these different types of reports and data and kind of go, you know, we're seeing some correlation here. Did you know about this? And it's really augmenting. And, you know, I like to think about it in terms of how can we help, you know, automate some of those employee tasks that are monotonous and not adding a lot of value, and getting bots and AI around data to kind of give people insights to make them more productive, but make their job easier, right? So, and allow people to do more creative, more high value tasks. So we're seeing a huge growth in projects and the demand for how AI can help augment, I guess, employees' intelligence. How can we, you know, rather than, as I said, go through mountains of data and reports and spreadsheets and all kinds of things, and how AI can really play a dramatic role to give insights, show new patterns that people couldn't see, and also automate some of those monotonous tasks as well. So it's a booming market at the moment in that space, and it's something that people are getting more excited in. And a lot of it used to be quite hard to do. A lot of it used to require things like, you know, data scientists to help with the modeling and specialist kind of AI developers and tooling and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of it these days can be deployed quite quickly and can get quite good wins in small amounts of investment and time. And that's where we're seeing the big shift, where organizations are going, do you know what, we can actually afford to do this. And it's not a big stretch for some of the current talent we have to learn the technology. And that's where we're seeing the greatest uptake as well.
It's an exciting time to be a part of the technological space right now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, as I said, there's never been a time where we've had access to so much technology. So organizations are certainly keen to understand how they can leverage it more as well.
I'm loving it. I think I got into this space at just the right time. It's all happening. We touched on AI a second ago and how it sort of fits into the intelligent workplace. And that sort of rolls into my final question for you, which is what I'm going to ask each of my guests, and I'm calling it the $1 billion question. So, Cam, once the machines are doing all the work, what will the humans do? Are we destined to become the pets of AI in the future?
Look, it's a good question. I mean, I've had this discussion many times, and I think there's a place for, you know, technology and machines to kind of augment what we do, and allows us to focus on more high value tasks, the creative process, the ability to think a lot alongside machines in terms of getting new insights. So I kind of see AI and technology as augmenting our own intelligence and helping us to leverage things that we couldn't do before and see before in terms of data and information. But I think that allows us to kind of step it up a level and, you know, take our creative thinking and look at new ways that we can think of each other a lot more as humans and helping each other more, rather than focus on low value tasks that don't have as much value. So I think there's a greater role to play, but I think it's a role that we kind of have to evolve with technology a little bit as well. So evolve us and evolve technology to focus on a higher level playing field and leverage our creative side a lot more, leverage our, you know, more human traits of being personable and mindful of everyone we sort of interact with. So it's probably a bit of a deep and meaningful question. We probably should have our beers, but I think there's an opportunity for us to augment how we work and allow us to step up as, you know, the human race to do a lot more.
I might take you up on that offer of a beer. Sounds good to me, mate. Look, Cam Smith from SXIQ, thank you very much for joining me on the Intelligent Workplace podcast today. I've certainly learned a lot, and, mate, I'm loving some of your thoughts around digital employee experience and how that fits into the intelligent workplace. It's great stuff, mate, and I encourage everybody to jump onto your blogs and your LinkedIn page and check out some of the stuff you've got there in the written form. So, mate, thanks again for joining me, and hopefully we'll talk soon for that beer.
Thanks, Chris. A real pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on the Intelligent Workplace podcast, brought to you by LiveTiles. If you have any feedback or want to suggest a guest for a future show, email podcast@livetiles.nyc. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time.